I've entitled today's message, "The Charge Will Not Stick." Make no mistake about it, the charge will be brought. Satan is going to accuse you to me, you to God, me to you, me to God. But the charge will not stick for those of us who have been born again and who keep our sin list short by confessing our sins day by day, moment by moment, as they occur. So today I want you to come along with me and be encouraged, hopefully, because if you've been born again, Satan will bring the charges against you. But as long as that sin is confessed, the charge will not stick. Be blessed as you listen. This morning, I was out walking to the Lord this week, talking to him. And I was thinking about how good he's been to me, everything we sung this morning. And I could take you back pretty close where I was when I stopped and I said, why would someone like you love someone like me? I heard two things in my spirit. One, love. God is love. God is love. God loves. But then I heard something else in my spirit. The bigger picture. The bigger picture. So this morning, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And you oftentimes find reading the Bible that one verse leads to another verse. One truth leads to another truth. And it becomes a continuum. In the introduction to Romans in the open Bible, they make note of the fact that Romans is not a treatise in systematic theology, but that it is rather a letter from Paul to them, trying to encourage them and strengthen them in their walk with the Lord. Now, the first verse of Romans chapter 8, the Lord's had me here quite a bit this week, requires a lot of Bible to understand it. When you take the first verse of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it takes a lot of Bible to understand it. I was going to preach verses 1 through 14. But as I kept looking at it, I thought, well, I'll cut it to verses 1 through 8. I'm hoping I can make it to verses 3 and 4. Because there's so much here. And last Sunday was long. The message was about an hour and 3 minutes long. I have messages that are 38 minutes. I have some that are 45 minutes, some 48 minutes, some an hour. But you're veterans. You hang in here. You're strong. You can handle it. A lot of churches couldn't handle that. In Romans chapter 8, now listen, you won't be able to track with me on all the scriptures because I've got to print it out up here. But I'm going to be moving through scriptures and keep this in mind. The bigger picture. The bigger picture of God's love for you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As I said, it's going to take quite a bit of the Bible to explain this, but look at it very carefully now. Now, some Biblicists have pointed out that too much emphasis has been placed on the word now. But let's just take it in the context. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who is in Christ Jesus? Those of us who've been born again. Those of us who've been born again are in Christ Jesus, and therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then the proof that you're in Christ Jesus is that who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're in Christ Jesus, you will not walk in accordance with the passions and the dictates of the flesh. You won't do that. You will walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to take you in your holy imagination into the courtroom of God for just a moment. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're in the courtroom. What that verse is really saying, no charge that Satan brings against you will stick.
Amen.
Simply stated, no charge that Satan brings against you will stick. It won't stick. Why? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, you won't have time to track all these now. If you try to track them, you're going to lose out on part of what I'm saying. So let me read them to you and explain them to you. I'll give you a copy of this if you want it later, if you want to check everything out. But in Revelation 12, 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is going to accuse you to me. He's going to accuse me to you. He's going to accuse you to God. He's going to accuse God to you. Satan is the accuser. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, and we all do, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In the courtroom of God, as you stand there, and Satan's saying, he did this, he did this, he did that, he did the other, and Satan is throwing charge after charge after charge after charge against you, you have an advocate.
Amen.
And that advocate is Jesus Christ. And Jesus looks at the Father and says, he's absolutely right. He's right. They did that, but I paid for it.
Hello.
I took that sin of theirs on me. I paid that sin debt. So that's null and void. Satan said, well, all right, how about this? And he throws another charge. Jesus said, I paid that. I paid the sin debt. Now, let's start getting to the bigger picture. And you've heard so much of this, but I really want you today, I want us to just embrace more than we have in the past. Going back to Christ on the cross, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Going back to Christ on the cross, remember now that on that cross, he who knew no sin became sin. He took upon himself my sin, your sin. I've told you before, he reached back into eternity and brought all the sins of all of those who died in faith, trusting the blood sacrifices, trusting God. He brought those sins to himself. He reached into the future. He brought all of our sins to himself. Now, there's a fine line here, and I understand the semantics of the thing, but what is true? Does God forgive sin, or does God forgive sinners? Because all sin has to die. All sin has to die. That is why the blood sacrifices in the Old Testament. That's why the offerer laid his hands on the head of the sacrifice, confessed his sin, and then had to cut the throat of that animal, and his sins placed on that animal died. The sinner was now released, forgiven. It is as, and I'll get to that in a moment, that when you came to Christ, it is as though you came up to the cross, laid your hands on him, and transferred to him every sin you had ever committed, and every sin you would commit from that point on. And when you did that, he embraced those sins. Every sin you had ever committed, he embraced it and pulled it to himself. And then he pulled to himself all the sins that you would be committing and put them all to death in himself. As I thought about it this week, I'm not real sure that the greatest pain that Christ suffered on the cross was the scourging of the back, the pulling out of the beard, the nails through his hands, and the nails through his feet. I'm not real sure, but I would suspect that the greatest pain he suffered on the cross was when he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm not real sure that On that cross, perhaps the greatest pain he suffered was the pain of becoming sin. He who knew no sin, becoming sin, and crying out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think perhaps that was the greatest pain he suffered that day on the cross. He became every sin you can name. He took upon himself every sin that any of us have ever committed, anyone who's coming to him for salvation has ever committed. He took all that on himself. He, the Son of God, who was God in the flesh. Here again, let's make sure we understand more thoroughly. That holy thing, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and through the supernatural act of God, you will be supernaturally impregnated with the seed of God. And that holy thing which comes forth from you shall be called the Son of God, and in him will dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God on the cross. God on the cross. God who created men and gave him free will. God who created the angels and gave them free will. The angels rebelled. A portion of them rebelled and were cast down. Man had free will. He rebelled against God. Adam and Eve. As we talked about where sin came in, into the field of your life, the sin nature. Sin gained access to humanity. But the plan was in place in eternity past, that God was going to do this. And so he implemented the plan, and sure enough, it went down just as he knew that he would. So, 1 John 2:1 again, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For the one who's been born again, the believer, no charge is going to stand. Amen. Satan cannot bring a charge against you that's going to stick. No, sir. Why? Because the sin has already been paid for. Jesus took that sin upon himself. He put that sin to death in himself. And now Jesus Christ acts as your advocate. Every time Satan accuses you, Jesus acts as your advocate. So you can go through life, okay, I just sinned. I'm going to confess it. The blood that cleansed me initially continues to cleanse me as I confess my sin, because the Word of God tells us that. So you can walk in liberty, and you can walk in freedom, and you can walk in power. All of our sins were placed on Christ on the cross, He and He alone. So Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, said this, and you, the people at Colossae, being dead in your trespasses, the sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Don't let that escape you. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, I was, you were, they were, and the uncircumcision of your flesh. It's not the circumcision, if you will, of the male organs, the circumcision of the heart that counts. Our heart, that sinful nature, we've been circumcised. That sinful nature has been cut off. And he has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, a lot of these people were absolutely religiously active. They were extremely religiously active, but spiritually dead. That is so prevalent today. There are those who are so absolutely religiously active, but they're spiritually dead until they come to Christ and they're born again. The other day, as I was thinking about all this, and I stopped and I said, why would you love me? Love. And the greater picture. Understand the greater picture. In Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. There it is. A whole list of sins. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. As I ponder that, I could see myself walking up to the cross of Jesus and having this long scroll of sins, all these sins I had committed, and on that scroll, taking them to the cross and nailing them to the cross, and the blood of Christ coming down out of his body, covering those sins and eradicating them. The handwriting of ordinance, we all had it. We all had, if you will, that handwriting of ordinances that were against us, but watch it again, was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. My sins, your sins, were nailed to his cross. His blood cleansed you from every sin you have ever committed. His blood will continue to cleanse you from every sin you ever commit. All you've got to do is recognize it. The handwriting of ordinances. I understand from most biblicists' point of view, that speaks primarily to the violation of the law. I understand that. Most biblicists will take that verse, apply it to the Jews, and to their failure to live up to the law. But I take it a step further, because I read into it everything that I can see there, because I had a handwriting of ordinances that were against me. They had a handwriting of ordinances because they had failed to live up to the standard of the law, which no man could, which Paul found out. But I also see in that those of us who have been born again, my second application of that is that our sins were placed on Jesus. Then I like to see my sins nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross. Well, my sins were in him. He was nailed to the cross. Therefore, my sins are nailed to the cross because they're in him, and he was nailed to the cross. Therefore, my sins, your sins, if you've been born again, have been put to death in Christ Jesus. Amen. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Catch that now. He spoiled. Folks, every enemy of your soul has already been defeated.
Amen.
Now hear me now. Last week I talked about the field of your life. And I talked about all the poisonous, sinful weeds that have been planted in your life by Satan and your cooperation with Satan before you were born again. I pointed out that each of those have to be identified. They have to be uprooted, confessed the sin, gotten out of the life. But think of it this way as well. You're walking through the field of life. And as you walk through the field of life, there are little things that Satan has planted in the grass that he wants to attach to you as you walk through the field of life. He wants to attach those things to you that will rob you of your joy, rob you of your peace, rob you of your understanding of who you are in Christ. He has, right now, all of us have been affected with this. Satan has attacked us from time to time and attached to us an emotion, a desire, a fear, a feeling, a situation, a circumstance that has somehow drawn out of us joy, peace, power. You see, as we come through this, realizing every principality, every power out of hell has been defeated. And he openly triumphed over them when he came out of that tomb.
Amen.
They got him crucified. They put him in a tomb. They sealed the tomb. And they said, that's it. That's a wrap. No, that wasn't a wrap. Third day was coming. And he came out of that tomb. But hear me now. There's not a demon out of hell that has not been defeated by Jesus. He defeated Satan. And oh yeah, they're active. They're active. They're still active. Think of them as that thing in the grass I was talking about that attaches, wanting to rob you of your joy, rob you of your strength, rob you of your vitality, rob you of your divinity. Wants to rob you of everything about you that speaks of Christ. Wants to destroy your testimony and your witness. So, when you realize that all of that was done, why? Because God loves you. God loves you. God is love. Word of God tells us, 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another, For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. Reading it again very carefully. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. There it is. We're not getting it. We're not getting it. We're not getting the love that God has for us. Satan looks at us and says, you miserable wretch, who could ever love you? What have you got, Martin, that could commend you to God? Nothing. I have nothing to commend me to God. Maybe you do. I don't. We were all sinners. Beyond the love of God, in that lifestyle, we were not a part of Him. We were not a part of His body. But His love was there. You cannot name a sin that God doesn't hate. You cannot name a sinner that God doesn't love. Well, I don't care if they're in the woke movement, Black Lives Matter, white supremacy, feminist, LGBT, transgender, I don't care. God loves sinners. And we better be glad He does love sinners. We better be very, very glad He does love sinners. We were sinners. We are now sinners saved by grace. All because of the love of God. But we've got to keep the bigger picture in mind. Come along with me now. Think of the bigger picture. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. There's part of the big picture. This is where the Lord starts speaking to me this week about so much of the church does not understand this. In Isaiah 6, we talk about, I'm going to die, and I'm going to get raptured, I'm going to get resurrected, but wait a minute. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there. Look at it again now. Isaiah 65, 17. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. He says, I'm going to have a new heavens, a new earth. Now let's slow down. God had a plan. God had a plan. He says, I'm going to create a universe. I'm going to hang planets, stars. I'm going to hang all that in it. I'm going to put a sphere out there called Earth. And then I'm going to create man. And just as I gave the angels free will, I'm going to give man free will. And I'm going to let man choose. Does he want to worship me and obey me and serve me? Or does he want to reject me? Ignore me, but I'll give him free will. Knowing that when I do that, man's going to sin. Mankind's going to develop a sin nature. And because they have a sin nature, I'm going to have to go to the earth myself in the form of my own son. I will have to go in a human body, God in a human body. We'll call him Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. But God is going to come to earth in His Son, in Jesus, God in the flesh, for in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He's going to become His own sacrifice for sins. I've taught you this for so long, but we've got to go further now. He's going to become His own sacrifice for my sin. He loves me enough in all of my sin. He's going to become His own sacrifice for my sin. But then the plan goes further. Yes, the Son of God is going to be crucified. Yes, He's going to become sin. Yes, He's going to die. He's going to be buried. He's going to rise again. And then there will be that group of people out of all of humanity, and they're in every nation of the world, every tongue, every color, every race. There are those in every nation of the world who are of the elect. There are those that God knew at some point in time would believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, regardless. So, he's going to let mankind go on until a certain time. And then he is going to stop it. Christ is going to come back to earth. When he comes back, he's going to resurrect the dead in him. He's going to rapture the ones who are alive when he comes back. And he's going to form a new heavens and a new earth. Watch it carefully now, Isaiah 65:17. Behold, I create a new heaven. This is the prophetic word of God through the prophet Isaiah. I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Those who are translated from this sphere down here to that sphere up there won't even remember this sphere down here. The bigger picture. You having trouble grasping this? He is going to have a new heavens and a new earth. And the other day when I said to him, why would someone like you love someone like me? He's the love. I am love. But look at the bigger picture. You're part of a bigger plan. You're part of something bigger than you can comprehend, bigger than you understand. But it's here in the Word. I'm going to have a new heaven and a new earth. I am going to complete what I started. I am going to have a people who love me, worship me, adore me, obey me. And to get that happened, I am going to have to give man free will, let those who want to be a part of me become a part of me through faith in me, and those who reject me and refuse me, I'll handle them in a different way, which we'll get to in a moment. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Then Peter picked it up. In the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We don't walk after the dictates of a sin nature. We walk as led by the Spirit of God. According to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth. Now, stop and think about this. When I die, I'm going to go to glory. I was telling Roselle and Gene before the service that if we ever have a nuclear exchange, I hope I go in the first blast. I'd rather go into glory than have to survive the stuff that goes on after that. But when I die, listen to me now. When your heart beats its last time, you're going to be transitioned from this sphere of sin and worry and disease and sickness and all kinds of ungodliness. You're going to leave this sphere and you're going to be transported. You're going to go to glory and you're going to arrive in glory. And when you get there, you wouldn't come back here if you offered the opportunity.
That's right.
Amen. People look at death as, oh no. They think about a casket and flowers and funerals and all that stuff. I don't think that way. I think about cremation and throw my ashes out to the tide and let them go out to the ocean somewhere. But you have to understand, death is nothing more than a moment of transition from here to there. And then once you get there, you see, your name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are already a member, if you will, of God's new heaven and God's new earth. The Word of God says it's appointed man once to die. Once. But then you see, once you die, you're not subject to the second death. There's a second death. Word of God teaches us there's a second death. But those of us who are born again will only die once. We will die in this physical body. But you are spirit, soul, and body. You are an eternal being. When you leave this sphere of existence, you're going to go to that sphere of existence and continue right on living, and you're going to get a glorified body.
Amen.
No more sickness, no more disease, no more injury, none of that. No hospitals. No paramedics. None of that. You will have a perfect, you will have, we will see him as he is, we will be like him, and we will have that perfect body that he started out with. Amen. We won't have the stuff we have down here. I got ahead of myself, so I'll go back and pick you up now and take you the rest of the way. Going back to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And in Romans chapter, we finally got to verse 2. Okay, that was verse 1 of Romans. Now we get to Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. There it is. For the law of the Spirit of life. That's a law. That's a fixed spiritual principle, just like the law of sin. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. I've been freed from the law of sin and death. Now, we come to this. Satan cannot exercise any more power in my life than I choose to allow. Jesus Christ conquered every principality, every power, every unclean spirit. He conquered them all. And then he said, okay, Bob, I've defeated them. Here's the victory. Walk in it. They cannot exercise. Hear me. And I'm telling you, many times it's in the physical realm. Many times, and I find in the Bible, I can prove this, it's in the emotional realm. I find it in the spirit realm. But when I come to Christ, I now have access to the throne of God. I am now one with Christ. I am in Christ. And now, because he has defeated everything that wars against my soul, he won the victory. I can win the victory. And this is not just hyper talk. This is reality. When the Spirit of God spoke to my spirit the other day and said the bigger picture, we've lost sight of it. For the most part, the church has lost sight of the bigger picture. I'm just passing through here. I'm just passing through on my way to glory. But as I pass through here on my way to glory, I've got to do everything I can to advance the kingdom of God through my life, lifestyle, my prayer life, my witness, my testimony, the use of my gifting, my anointing, whatever that may be. But I'm just passing through here. So are you. And the Word of God tells us, for the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that is where life really is. Life is in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and the law of death. The Word of God says that the law of sin cannot prevail over me. The Word of God says that death cannot prevail over me. So I say, oh, but wait a minute, Bob. Word of God says it's appointed a man wants to die. You're right. So let's look at it. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. There it is. Is it appointed a man wants to die? Yes. If I'm not raptured, I'm going to die physically. But I only die once. There's a second death. For those who do not know Christ. And the Word of God tells me in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. I'm going to have part in the first resurrection. I will have part in the first resurrection. Why? Because I'm born again. You say, wait a minute, Bob. If you're going to have part in the first resurrection, and when you die, you don't want to be stuck in a box and put in the ground. You want to be cremated. So how's he going to resurrect that? You can't destroy substance. You can't destroy it. I'm going to exist even when I'm cremated, nothing but ashes. Somebody's going to take them out to the Atlantic Ocean, throw them in the tide. Tide's going to take them out, and they're going to be there. You can't destroy that. And when Christ returns, he says, all right, dead in Christ, arise. All those ashes come back together. And I go to meet him. Whether he does it one ash at a time or the whole ash at one time, I don't know. But the point is this, I am going to meet him in the sky. And I'm going to receive a glorified body. And I'm going to hit glory, yet and glory be to God. Hallelujah forever. Amen.
Amen.
Victory at last. Revelation 20, chapter 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are up, see, we'll be ruling and reigning with him over that segment of humanity that remains when he returns. The dead in Christ are going to be resurrected. We're going to be raptured, those who are alive. And then those who have died without Christ, they're still in their graves. But you've got that segment of humanity that is still here. And those are the ones who've got to decide during that 1,000-year reign, do I believe he's the Son of God or do I not? Will I receive him or will I not? Will I believe or will I not? So we are going to be ruling and reigning with him during that time. Then after that time, we won't get into all that now, the eschatology part, but come to this. At the end of that 1,000 years, you'll find out those who believed Christ, received Christ, submitted to Christ, and those who did not. And those who did, they will continue on in a perfect earth, a perfect humanity, without sin, and we will still be ruling and reigning with them over an ever-increasing humanity. Are we getting this? The bigger picture. The bigger picture. The grave is not the end. The last heartbeat is not the end, folks. You are an eternal being. You are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ over others in humanity. You're going to rule and reign with him during his millennial reign. And beyond over those who believe him, receive him. So you have to start thinking right now, wait a minute. I'm here 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever the case may be. Then I go to glory. But then I remain with him, ruling and reigning with him through the rest of eternity. Revelation 26 again. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, that's us. The second death has no power.
No
power. And we shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 21, 8. But the cowardly and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There it is. That's who's going to die the second time. That's a spiritual death. Not just a physical death. A spiritual death where they're consigned to hell for the rest of eternity. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Why are we down to verse 3 in Romans 8? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? Condemned sin in the flesh. It means this. Basically, it means he executed sin. He destroyed his power. Are you hearing something? He destroyed the power of sin. He executed the power of sin. That's what that word condemned means. Look at it once again. For what the law could not do. The law could tell you what God demanded, But the law could not enable you, the law could not empower you to obey. For what the law could not do, because it was weak in the flesh, our sinful nature, God, sending His Son, His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, in a human body, took on a human body, and for sin, condemned, executed, destroyed sin in the flesh. He has broken the power of sin. We're up against it every day. And folks, you're going to fail from time to time. You're going to falter and fail, but keep in mind, wait a minute, I'm just passing through. The same blood that cleansed me initially will cleanse me when I confess my sin. I will confess my sin, I'll get my forgiveness, and I'll go rejoicing in my repentance. Oh, mercy, help us, Lord. Verse 4 of Romans 8. Why did He do that? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law. We're in Christ. He fulfilled the law. And then attributed to us just as though we had fulfilled the law because we are in Him and He fulfilled the law. I don't have to fulfill it. He fulfilled it. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's proof that you're in Christ. The fact that you don't give in to your sinful passions, those temptations, those testing. But no, you walk in the Spirit. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. When you're born again, you embrace those things of the Spirit of God. Until you're born again, you don't do that. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded, to let your sin nature control you, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want to walk through life with peace, joy? Submit and surrender. Submit and surrender. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind of the sinful nature is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Those with a sin nature cannot walk in the Spirit. Those with a sin nature cannot please God. Those with a sin nature cannot abide in Christ. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are living according to their sin nature cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Notice what he says. You are not in the flesh. You don't have a sin nature. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. I can't take it any further this morning, because I don't think you can handle any more this morning. Keep in mind, this has not been a real potish thing, I know that. But it's burning in my spirit. We've got to understand who we are. Listen to me. Elijah was a man of like passions. He was a human being. But he was concerned about his nation. And he prayed, asking God, stop the rain. Punish this nation. Stop the rain. And God stopped it. He wasn't even dwelt at that time by the Holy Spirit. He had the Spirit of God. He was anointed. Mortal human being like you and me. But he prayed. He was obeying God. I'm saying to you this morning, if you'll get the bigger picture, I read a doctor one time who said, don't get up every morning looking for knocks in the motor. Don't get up every morning, well, wonder what's wrong today. This don't feel good. I don't think that was there yesterday. I must be dying right now. I guess I'll die before supper. Well, I guess I should go on in and lay down on the bed and pour white powder on myself. And I once knew a person who did that. They figure, well, I'm going to die. So we laid down the bed and took some talcum powder and put talcum powder on. Waiting for death. Now, how many of you get up every morning of the world thinking, well, all hell is going to break loose against me today? I got this little glitch here and that glitch there, and this doesn't work right, and that don't work right. And why don't you get up every morning saying, glory be to God, I'm a purchased possession.
Amen.
I can only die once.
Amen.
I'm not going to suffer the second death.
Amen.
My sin debt is paid. The blood of Christ has cleansed me. The blood of Christ cleanses me. Let me tell you a concern to me. My daughter knows she can call me or her mother anytime and say, pray, I need prayer. Babe, we're not going to always be here. See, you've got to learn to walk on your own. Every one of us have to learn to walk with Him.
Amen.
Walk with Him, trusting Him, believing Him. Now, I want you to turn to somebody right now and say, I'm a lot more spiritual than you think. Now say to yourself, I am a lot more spiritual than I think. I'm a child of God, purchased by the blood, indwelt
by the Spirit.
All the promises of God are mine. I'm going to claim them.
I'm going to
receive them.
I'm
going to walk in the Spirit.
I'll defeat every power out of hell
that comes against me,
in and through Jesus,
the Christ,
who has already
defeated
my enemies.
This morning, sitting before the Lord, before I got on my knees, I said, you got anything you want to say to me? My spirit, he said, go to Psalm 3. I went there and found out that the enemies were already defeated, smitten, destroyed. I said, thank you, Lord. I needed that this morning.
Amen.
Now, listen, hear me. I'm not a name and claim it guy. But I look at the Word of God. And I read the Word of God. And I say, okay, this is the Word of God. There are people in here this morning that you have conditions that no medical protocol in and of and by itself can solve. You need His touch. You need what only He... I can bless my wife. Every night of the world, I bless my wife. I pray for her. When I say I bless her, I'm going to bless everything that I know of that's going on in her life that can cause her any discomfort or problem. I bless her. There's power in the blessings. And I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to ask God to arrest and reverse anything. Are you listening to me? I'm going to ask God to arrest and reverse anything going on in her body that it was not in accordance with His purpose, His plan, and His will. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
I'm going to ask Him to restore this man right here. He's got a situation the doctors really cannot pinpoint down. And you're one of how many? And that happens, folks. It happens in the church. Let's be realistic. But let's take God at His word and say to the Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, Lord. I believe, help my unbelief. I need help, Lord. Jesus, I need help. And tell Him what you need help with. Tell Him what your wife needs help with, your husband needs help with. But let's shake off the spiritual lethargy and the apathy and the unbelief. And let's look at the bigger picture. That we are a part of His eternal kingdom and all hell cannot stop that.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
There's power in the name of Jesus. I want those of you Get out of here, Xenia. I want those of you who have problems this morning of a physiological nature to stand up. Don't ever be afraid nor ashamed to understand this. Repeat after me, preacher.
Preacher.
It's not you.
It's not you.
It's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
All you can do is pray and bless.
Pray and bless.
Will you receive the blessing?
Yes, sir.
Will you receive the prayer?
Yes, Lord.
Father God, I'm trying to hear you. I'm just simply trying to be led by your Spirit. But, oh, Father God, this little handful of people here, I love them. And they love me. And we love you. And you love us. We are your children, purchased by your blood. Our sins have been forgiven and are being forgiven. And, Father, the other day when you breathed into my spirit that you love me because you are love. You love us. And you want us to see the bigger picture. Don't just focus on the one little moment we're in time. And yes, you're having to purify us and refine us and correct us. And we receive that. But at the end of the day, Father, give us the victory. And now in the name of Jesus, I bless you folks in the name of Jesus, understanding that all I can do is pray for you and bless you. He has to pick up and honor the blessing. He has to honor the prayers. I pray that for the rest of you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I pray asking for God's mercy and love and grace. I pray for God's healing power in your body. I pray for God to, Lord Jesus, arrest that which is taking place. Stop it, reverse it, restore, bring relief, I pray in Jesus' name.
Yes,
oh, Father God, this little place right here, this little handful of people, move in a mighty way, I pray. Going forth from this point on, Father, do what only you can do. I love them. I pray for them. I'm asking you to honor their prayer and honor the blessing. Bill Fuller, in the name of Jesus, I speak comfort, peace, relief to you. This situation that the doctors cannot truly identify, Christ can. And we resist, rebuke, and renounce every work of Satan that's coming against you. Every spirit of infirmity, the Word of God tells us there is a spirit of infirmity. So we rebuke the spirit of infirmity from you in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity. We ask you, Father God, to reverse, restore what the enemy has attached. Jesus, this morning do what only you can do. We just submit ourselves to you. We ask you for your mercy. We ask you for your grace. We ask you to do what only you can do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have a seat for just a moment. I feel led to say this. I talked about walking through the field of life. And Satan has things in the field that want to attach to you. Doubt, fear, unbelief, maybe physical, emotional, whatever it may be. And perhaps some of you have had something attached to you. I'm going to suggest you just get alone, get quiet before the Lord, and say, Father, Jesus, show me what I've allowed Satan to attach to me that you don't want attached to me. Rebuke it in the name of... Don't be afraid to rebuke a demon.
Amen.
You got power.
Yes, sir.
You got authority. Christ conquered them. Don't be ashamed nor afraid. In the name of Jesus, I renounce whatever it is I may have attached to you. and the spirit behind it. Fear, doubt, whatever it may be. Take your position in Christ and rebuke it. I do it all the time. Only Christ can do it. Lord, take what's happened here this morning. I preached what you gave me. Ordinarily, Father, this would be a Palm Sunday message. But I really felt impressed of you to do this, and I've done it. I deliver it over to you to use as you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody stand up. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to receive everything was taught. I'm going to receive everything that was prayed by the grace of God. Be blessed as you go home. Be blessed. Shake hands with somebody before you go. Tell them you love them. Be blessed.
I don't know yet.
Well, folks, I want to thank you for being a part of our service and our radio congregation. Till we have a chance to get together and do this again, be blessed.